Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. There's no Kleenex necessary for tonight's show. There's no crying. We've got I'm Illini guy Mike Kegley. We've got Illini guy Brad Sturdy, and we've got Illini guy's director of recruiting, who's been busier than heck, Kedrick Prince. So let's start off with the story of the day. Maybe there's two stories of the day. We'll talk about Malik Elzey a little bit towards the end of the podcast here. But let's start off with the Illini having really a fairly dominant 10-point victory, 79-69, over the Wisconsin Badgers. Obviously, we know that Tyler Wall was not playing due to a severe ankle sprain. At the same time, the Illini were also recovering over losing Sky Clark, as he had to take a break from basketball and rebalance some things in his life. So we had two teams that were not coming in 100%, and the Illini played quite well today. Brad, there were some there were a lot of things that were done differently by the Illini today. What were three things that really caught your eye, as if somebody was to say, what's the difference between the Northwestern game and the game today?
Well, I mean, the most obvious thing is, you would say, you know, they made open shots, and yeah, Coleman Hawkins taking shots in rhythm and knocking them down. And Terrence Shannon, you know, made a three, but he, the second thing I would say is Terrence Shannon was aggressive attacking the rim, didn't settle for perimeter jump shots, and got downhill. And then the other thing was the ball moved. I'm going to give you four things, Mike. The ball moved on offense.
Yep.
As Underwood likes to say, the ball had energy. It changed sides. They had reversals. They made passes. They got guys in advantage situations, whether it was running a guy through, getting a post up with Meyer on a 6-3 kid, whether it was getting a chance where you got Shannon attacking the center off the drive. They did wonderful things in that regard. And then the other thing that I would say, the last thing I would say, RJ Melendez and Ty Rogers and Sincere Harris did not do much offensively, but those three dudes guarded their butts off today, and they had energy. They rebounded. They attacked the glass. They did things. When you can get that out of basically your bench, and I know Sincere started, but basically Epps played 29 minutes. Sincere played 15. So, you know, you got to look at it that way. But yeah, this is a legit, this was a legit effort from eight players that really was effective today. And I was really impressed with Illinois today. I mean, and, you know, somebody said that, you know, they're mentioning the shots they made from three. Do you realize they only shot, they were 10 of 19 from three. They're also 10 of 19 on layups. So there's still, you know, this could have been a game that they won by 15 or 20 points. So, yeah. Good, really good effort for Illinois today.
Yeah, and I'm going to – in a second here, I'm going to toss it over to Ked. I thought the difference, too, was with only 10 turnovers on 66 possessions, that meant they were turning over the ball. It's not perfect, but they were turning over the ball at a 15% rate, which is much better than the 25% rate that we've seen in some of their losses. Ked, I know you had a list of things. Were there anything that they did differently that Mr. Sturdy did not bring up?
Yes. I mean, the obvious one, and it's just really, you know, kind of, if you have common sense, you know, when you make shots, you look good. I mean, you just do. And today, Illinois made shots, but it's the shots that they made that I like, how they made them. We have all talked about it, and it's not, you know, we can address the elephant in the room with Coleman Hawkins, you know, with his ball fake. Brad used the terminology, caught it and shot it in rhythm. You know, that's probably, you know, the best analogy with it. I just thought it was a more of a quick catch and shoot for me, because he didn't think about it. When he's thinking about it, you know, he's second guessing and then there's a hand in his face. I didn't see that from him today. I saw a quick, well, I'm lying, I did. I saw him do it a couple times, but not nearly as much. I didn't see any of that from Matthew Meyer today. He got the ball, caught it, and shot it in rhythm as well. That's how it's supposed to be played. Other than the fact that they made shots, the thing that I really want people to just, if you, I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm the best coach in the world and I'm the only guy who understands X and O's. But if anybody wants to sit and tell me today, I'll dissect the game with anybody one-on-one and tell me the Illinois did not run different sets today and they ran them cleanly. I'll give them an A- with what they ran today. I tweeted one of them. When have you seen an Illinois run a guy at the high post and then they used Dane Danger from some of that? I think Dane struggled today because Wisconsin's a physical team. I think against a team like they have maybe coming up, Nebraska or some other teams, maybe a Penn State or whoever, or even Indiana, I think you get those. I think Indiana's a good defensive team, and you don't want to take that away from them. But I like the offensive sets. Brad Underwood ran things today that I have not seen all season. And I will tell you what, and there was a couple plays that I saw where there were bad passes, they would have had wide open layups. So that matters. So the people who were being critical, and I was one of them, about what are they trying to do on offense, I saw that today. I'm telling you, we saw it. That was probably the most impressive thing to me, seeing that and seeing the ball go through. The other thing that we talked about was the turnovers. When you only turn the ball over 9 times, you give yourself a chance to win. You can't turn the ball over 40 times, 50 times. You know, I'm not going to be – this isn't me taking a shot at a kid. I think 3 of those turnovers, I have to go look at the stats, was Jaden Epps, and 2 of them were just careless mistakes. This is Big Ten basketball. You just can't turn around and turn the ball and think that they're not going to be there or hold the ball in front of a defensive player's face. My last comment, I'm an offensive guy. It's just who kid is. But, damn, I cannot believe the defensive job that Sincere Harris can do on people. He frustrates me just watching it and just knowing the fact of what that's like. I'm just impressed with him. And I know Brad mentioned this last time on the last podcast that he knew, and I kind of agree with Sturdy, Chris Collins must have complained about that from the start because you didn't see that today.
Yeah, you know, it was funny. He played 15 minutes today. Had 1 foul, and I'm talking about Sincere Harris. He had 2 fouls in the first 30 seconds of the game up in Evanston. And again, today was a day that I'm going to go out and commend the referees. You know, the free throw shots got a little bit wonky towards the end, which happens in a 10-point game. But throughout most of the game, they were within 2 or 3 free throws of one another. There were a few calls that I found to be mysterious, but I thought there was a couple on that I didn't agree that were against Wisconsin, and there were a couple that I didn't agree with that were against Illinois. But I thought overall it was a pretty good job done by the referees. Brad, one of the things I was going to ask you about, Ked kind of talked about it with running the sets. But I thought it was interesting. We saw ball movement. You know, there was very little standing and watching. I mean, guys, even on the weak side, were moving. And we saw some weak side picks that got people open, you know, got, you know, Shannon Jr. open a couple times. We saw some picks where there was a pass that caught guys perfectly in stride where they had a little momentum going. All in all, you know, is this something that they just worked on over the last few days? How do you think Coach Underwood got such a turnaround from his team that was literally looked like there were times that they were literally rooted to the Northwestern floor?
Well, I think it's starting to be more, they're starting to play with comfort. And trust, like he mentioned, trust, and that's a good word for it, because they you have to trust that what you're doing is going to work. Maybe not to get you open. Sometimes you screen to get someone else open. And I think the team concept was so much better today. I mean, the way the ball moved, the way they cut, the way they screened, they cut hard. And so those are little things. Although, you know, yeah, they added some sets, but it's more options that they run off their spread look. where, you know, guys come up here and then we're still in that four out one in, or we're still in that spread offense look, but now you're adding different options, whether it's a dive, you know, off the first cut, whether it's a ball reversal post up, whether it's a, you know, the dribble handoff, whether it's the wing ball screen, whether it's the high ball screen, whether it's the, you know, there's so many different options that they can run, and they ran a bunch of them. You saw them running a kind of a pin down action for RJ Melendez to get him a shot after he came in the game, and just to try and get him in the flow, get him going, or rimmed out. But there's so many different options they're running now. It's very difficult to defend because they're all basically start out the same way. And so, and Wisconsin, I'll be honest with you, they aren't a team that they pressure out to the 3-point line. So they're not going to pressure you and deny passes. And so it makes it easy to kind of run your offense. Now they're physical on your cuts. They're going to bump you and body you as you cut, but you can get the ball and you can make a pass. Now, if you're sloppy, they're going to take care of you, but Illinois made crisp passes, good passes, and they really ran some great offense. And, you know, and again, Ked and I were talking about this the other day on that podcast. Doesn't matter what offense you run, you still got to execute. You still got to screen. You still got to cut hard. If you don't do those things, it doesn't matter. There's not a magic offense. But what they've done is now they're getting comfortable doing this. The more times you run these things, the more comfortable you get. And now you start executing better, understanding angles, spacing, all those things. And that's where they're at right now.
Ked, what'd you think?
Here's our, you know, I want to add this really quick. I want people to understand this, that, you know, for people who say that Coach Underwood coach and knows what he's doing, there was a timeout in the second half. I don't know if it was Wisconsin called it Illinois. It could have been a TV timeout. There was a stretch when Coleman Hawkins had the hot hand. Right after the timeout, Brad Underwood drew a pick and pop for Coleman Hawkins. The difference is Coleman Hawkins made that shot, and it looked great. Makes Brad Underwood look like a million-dollar coach. Well, I shouldn't say $1 million because, you know, he makes more money than that. But it looked good. Yeah, because it looked really good. But he's done those things before, and the shot went in. If I want to say there was one critical part of the offense, because I'm really a stickler about running things, the one guy on the team, and you love to hate him, you just do, is Matthew Meyer. I mean, I just love the guy, and I'm bald, and then he makes me want to pull out the 6 hairs I have left. They run sets where he runs off. There were times where he was supposed to run off of Dane Danger, the high post. Some guys don't understand, and this is why Greg Gard is a good coach. Every time a Wisconsin player makes a cut, they cut with a purpose. It's going to be shoulder to shoulder. So that means no one can get through it. The reason I'm bringing up Matthew Meyer, he'll just run to be cutting just to be cutting. Run with a purpose. Cut with a purpose. Because Dane is a big body. If you use his body as a screener, you're going to get a layup. And that's where I think when he gets sloppy because he doesn't understand, you don't have to just go to a spot because that's what the offense calls. Everybody who's coached, and God bless Brad Underwood, I know he says the same thing. You can see the back cuts. I tell you who does do. Terrence Shannon tries hard, and if you see he gets more looks. If he doesn't get a shot off of it or a good look, he's able to get the ball and catch the offense and get in triple threat position. I just wish that part of it that they would drill, because I like what I see, and I think one of the reasons that you see the big turnaround, all the negative turmoil in this program. I saw leaders today. I saw Terrence Shannon. Every time he was on that floor, and Coleman Hawkins gathered that group together today to talk to them. People who want to be negative and be critical and be cancerous, fan bases all over the country. This isn't directed to Illinois. They're all over the country. I saw a group of men grow up today and say, you know what, this is us. You know, some of us, this is our last year playing basketball. We're going to get this done, and we're going to do what we need to do, because let's face it, they are one of the biggest teams in the Big Ten. They have 3 high-quality wins that a lot of teams can't say over top 15 teams. They have the talent to beat anybody in the country, and it was impressive to see them go out today to execute that.
Yeah, Brad, you know, you've won state titles as a coach. What do you do to get a team to become more consistent? Because there's no doubt the talent this Illini team has. How do you get them to play at that higher level so that that becomes more of a habit?
Well, I think, and Underwood mentioned it today in the post game. It's a lot of it is they're finally playing hard. And now, instead of trying to coach playing hard, now we can coach playing the right way and executing and things like that. I think that's the difference. And now it's fewer defensive breakdowns. I mean, you know, we talked about Wisconsin scoring 69 points today, but, you know, they hit Chucky Hepburn. A couple of those shots that he hit at the end after the game over were insane. So you give them credit. One time, Terrence Shannon actually gave him five and shook his head, said, nice shot, because it's like, I don't know what else I can do. You know, I mean, so I look at it, it's just about execution now. As long as they keep playing hard, and, you know, you get those energy guys that come in and bring that energy, and they just play hard for 40 minutes. And now it's just coaching execution and figuring out the right matchups, the right offenses to run, right sets to run against a certain team and or defense. You saw, you know, and this is the game within the game. You watch Greg Gard. Wisconsin gets down. He calls timeout in the second half when they got down by 13, I think it was. Immediately, three straight plays go to Chucky Hepburn in ball screen situations to try and isolate him in the post against Jaden Epps. That's good coaching. That's what you try and do, is you try and set up those mismatches. That's what Brad Underwood has to do. But you have to execute it. If you don't execute it, it's not going to be effective. And, you know, it's all those things like Ked talking, the cutting hard, the cutting, you know, setting screen, good solid screens, all those things, get the ball moving. And when they do that, it's just going to get more and more comfortable playing that way. And there's going to be a game where they're going to struggle. Don't get me wrong, coming up, I don't know which game it's going to be, but there will be a game when it doesn't click. But if they can continue to grow, it's a team that has a lot, very high ceiling, and a chance to be very good at the end.
Kedrick, how did you accomplish that?
One of the things to me is that you don't beat the team up when they're down. Sometimes it's okay to push teams. And I saw a different Brad Underwood today. And it was kind of funny, and I'm going to use the word cute at times. There were times today, there was a pick and pop between Coleman had the ball and a pick and roll, excuse me. Dane Danger was supposed to roll to the basket. You could see Brad, he started to kind of yell. Then he thought, I better not. And then, because that's what the TV has done, and they've kind of put a bad light on him, and he started applauding them. And I'm saying this because I saw more of that today. And I'm not saying I agree with it, because I'm going to tell you, I have no smoke with him yelling and being who he is. But today, I think I saw a group of guys today, and his demeanor was different. And I think, you know, obviously there has been team meetings and with the team, and probably individual meetings, but I saw a difference today in him. And he was very, very positive, even when things didn't go wrong. And one of the things that Brad mentioned a few minutes ago, I love a coach who has all the confidence in the player. RJ, to me, and I tweeted this, I'm really pulling for the kid. Only the fact that he's struggling, Brad still drew a play up for the kid to try to get a basket. Those are the kind of things, Mike, that people don't see. And you just watch the game. You know, you just think, oh, my gosh, he stinks, to get rid of him and put him in the portal. That kid has talent, and Brad showing confidence in his team and believing in his team, to me, is a huge part of it. And I don't care if you're a freshman or if you're a senior, if you can lead, you can lead. We saw some of those traits in Iowa early. I think when you get together as a team and say, listen, we're going to figure this out. We got to trust our coach. We're not just going to say it on Twitter and social media. If this, we believe in this guy and we committed to him, let's commit to him and what he's trying to tell us. And Terrence Shannon tweeted that earlier, and today I saw that, Mike. So to answer your question, I just think it's just the whole demeanor around the program. There was a, you know, like the old Ghostbusters movie, there was a dark cloud around the program, and today it was good because you finally saw some sunlight.
Yeah, and we have written, and you can check my heat checks and Hail Marys on IlliniGuys.com. I wrote about Mike Ditka Brad Underwood having a Mike Ditka problem, that the TV cameras have now decided that he has entered the same realm as Fran McCaffrey. So we're going to we're going to make sure we cover him anytime something happens to the team to see if he gets angry or not. And I don't think that's necessarily fair to either coach, but it is what apparently the Big Ten Network and ESPN have been told is popular, because they do it all the time. Brad, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is a lot of people had said this season that despite the loss of the incomparable Kofi Coburn, that this Illini team might have a higher ceiling without him in this current formulation, and they might have a lower floor without him as well. Can you kind of describe that for some fans who may not really understand that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there are certain things. You start with 20 and 10, and you play around that. That gives you a certain floor. Illinois is not, you know, if you have a player like Kofi Coburn, you're not missing the NCAA tournament, right? You're going to make it. This is a team legit could miss the NCAA tournament, this Illinois team. But the problem you have is when you have a Kofi Coburn, it limits the types of defenses you can play. It limits the way you can play on offense. And so you have to be able to, you know, when you get, you might get a certain matchup that doesn't fit his style of play in the tournament, because the tournament is so much about matchups. So although you win the, you know, you look at over the 3 years Kofi's there, Illinois had most wins in the Big Ten. They dominated the conference, if you think about it, if you look at their conference winning record compared to everyone else. This year they may not win the Big Ten. I think it's, you know, although everybody does have a loss now, it doesn't look like, you know, they're at least two games behind, right? So yep. Now it's a matter of what type of team. This team can match up with more teams in a big dance type situation scenario. So that's why you say they have a higher ceiling, and they have the ability to do different things. They're longer. They're more athletic. So there are things that they can do. That doesn't mean that Kofi isn't a great player. Doesn't mean that wasn't a great team. It just means that it's a different situation. And you know, I would, the problem with a guy like Kofi is you have to play him because he's so productive, but at the same time, you know, you can't shorten him 20 and 20 because it just doesn't work. You know, he has to be out there. And so, yeah, I think that's the difference between the floor and the ceiling.
Any other thoughts on that, Kid?
Yeah, I was hoping you asked me because I think I have a really good answer for you. having Kofi there, I mean, I saw a lot of comments from some of the Wisconsin media guys, you know, prior to the game, thinking, okay, we dominated this series. I think they had won 14 straight games in a row. And then Illinois got lucky because they had Kofi Coburn. And now Illinois has won four in a row. So now that he's gone, you know, we can continue to go back to doing what we're doing. So having a guy like Kofi makes a big deal. But you look at the team and what they're about, it is different. Having a guy like Kofi is going to get you that 20 and 10. And Wisconsin and Michigan are two teams that come to mind. They were afraid of Kofi. I think maybe last year, the year before last, I think Kofi put up 37 points against them. Today, what I saw was Wisconsin just go to the post, whether it was Chucky or any of those other bigs, and just try to punish Illinois in the post. Well, guess what? For the last 3 years, you never saw that. You just didn't, because they had the biggest man in college basketball down there. So he changed the game. So that's one thing. You know, going to the tournament, I think the key to going to the tournament is if Illinois can somehow, if they can somehow, I don't know what the magic answer is, you want to get that I Dream of Jeannie lamp, and you could turn Dane Danger to a 60% free throw shooter, I think Illinois is going to do well in the NCAA tournament if they get there. He has to make free throws. My philosophy has always been when I coach my team, when you get fouled and you walk to the free throw line and you don't make one of them, that's a turnover to me. That's an automatic turnover. And that's why he wasn't in at the end of the game. And there's going to be games where they need him. That is a problem that they have to fix. And I know it's all mental, because I was told by 1 million people that that's been worked on in practice. But then on the flip side of it, you don't want to harp on the kid with it. So he does good. He does good. And he's improved defensively. So, you know, and he can guard on the perimeter, I think, a little bit better than Kofi. Kofi wasn't great at it. There was times where he was special, but Dane gives him a different presence, I think, than what Kofi did. So not having him, yes, is great, because you're going to win games, like Brad mentioned, you're going to be in the tournament. But now teams have to defend you differently, especially if you can make shots.
Yeah, that's a great point. Brad, as we look forward at the schedule that's coming up now, you know, the Illini look to have a kind of a I don't know, a manageable stretch of games here. You don't want to take anything for get granted in the Big Ten, as we've seen this season. But if you look at the next few games, you know, the Illini, they will be at Nebraska on Tuesday, followed up by next Friday night against Michigan State. And then the next week on Monday, they're at Minnesota. And then they'll play against Indiana on that Thursday. I'm not saying they're easy games, but if the Illini show up and play well, all of a sudden they could kind of make the you know, prior games maybe kind of disappear, fade away in people's memories. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about your start playing well and you make a run and you look good. And then teams are like, man, I wish we had could have played them back when they were sucking. And, you know, I mean, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, that's college basketball in a nutshell, especially these conference games. So, yeah, I mean, the game in Nebraska is not going to be easy, although I think if Illinois plays well, they'll win. But Nebraska is scrappy. They're tough. Hoiberg's a good coach. And then you got Michigan State at home. We know Izzo's guys are going to fight and scrap and claw. But I think Illinois should win that game at home. And then you go to Minnesota, who is not very good, and you get to go to Minnesota and play there. So I think that, yeah, there's a great opportunity here for Illinois to make a nice little run over these next three or four games. They get Indiana at home then, who is kind of banged up. So, you know, you win the next four games, suddenly you're 5-3 in the Big Ten. You're 15-5 overall, and suddenly everybody's like, oh, God, we're good again. So, you know, yeah, it's the way it is. I mean, that's college basketball. And so you just have to go out there and compete, but it's one game at a time. You got to go 1-0 on Tuesday and then figure it out from there.
Ed?
I like that, you know, the analogy of going 1-0, but I'm going to tell you, like I told you before, and you guys have both backed me up on this, I thought the Northwestern game was a trap game, and my next trap game on the schedule is Nebraska, and I'm going to tell you why. If you want to see improvements, you know, Brian and I just gave, I think, personally, a good analysis of what this team just trying to do on offense and defense, and the reason why I say this is a trap game, Nebraska is one of the most, I don't want to say physical, but one of the best defensive teams Illinois is going to play, see this year. I think I go back to the Virginia game, I go back to Northwestern, and I look at Nebraska. They guard. They play the passing lanes, and they're going to do the exact same thing Northwestern did. And if they don't run good offense, if they don't make good hard cuts and good hard passes and be careless, they're going to lose at Nebraska. This isn't your typical normal Nebraska team. Don't look at the record because they're better, they're more athletic, and they defend. You saw what Illinois did against Northwestern, and if you don't make shots, and that's the easiest thing to say, they're going to be in trouble. So this is a game, expect defense and expect them to guard and make things tough for Illinois.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, Nebraska – is they've kind of established themselves as being, you know, if they're going to play a game where they play some lockdown defense, give people problems, it tends to be at home. And they do have, you know, they pasted Iowa 66-50, you know, right before the new year. So it's clear that if you show up at home, show up at their place and you take them lightly, you can be in some trouble. You know, they played Purdue to a 3-point loss in overtime. So yeah, this is a formidable team at home. Brad, from an Illini basketball standpoint, are there any other points that we didn't cover that you wanted to hit based on what you saw today?
Well, you know, we had a recruit on campus today, Jason Jaxtus, who is a 6'10" kid from Yorkville. He's a really skilled kid. He shoots it, very bouncy. And you know, he's kind of developed from a wing to a big man, sees himself as a power forward, possibly a stretch five down the road. And, you know, he's blowing up right now. It'll be interesting to see Illinois when to get him on campus early here. He's a 2024, but he's kind of a late bloomer here, and they want to see him, you know, play this spring on the Under Armour circuit and see how he performs, because he's a kid that has a lot of potential. He's starting to get a lot of notoriety from the mid-majors. He got some offers, you know, I think he visited Illinois State, now Illinois. And, you know, Illinois hasn't offered yet, but that's a kid that they definitely want to keep an eye on moving forward. And you can – Illinois coaches watched Bloomington Central Catholic shooting guard Cole Serta last night, dynamic shooter, scorer, really good player. I think he's strength away from being a high-major player. That's his – he's got some high-major offers, but I think he's strength – once he gains strength, this kid has all the tools to play at the high-major level.
Okay, Ked, anything on your standpoint?
Well, I'll just real quick, you know, I want the fans to know, and I didn't, you know, want to mention this, but I'm going to now, that I kind of been out of commission for the last 2.5 weeks, had a hip surgery, so I'm doing great, haven't had an opportunity to get back out to the games, and I think next week I'm going to be 99% released, so the goal is to get back out there, get to State Farm Center to watch and get to some of these high school games. There's a big shootout that I really want to go to in Quincy, I believe, sometime in January, coming up here real quick. I do want to touch on Cole Serta. I just did a story on him on IlliniGuys.com, and I think he doesn't have an Illinois offer, and he does have some Division I offers, Power 5 offers, but I think he really wants to get that offer. I know Brad just mentioned the fact that Illinois went to watch him play, and, you know, and Coach Underwood loves shooters. So the recruiting never stops, because as soon as one kid comes in, the other one leaves. And with the transfer portal, you know, you never know what you're going to get and who you're going to be losing. So I think that's huge. And I think, you know, it's hard to say, but I know Illinois is gravely tempted to try to just say, hey, this is a kid we want to get. Because just if you think about it, without an Illinois offer, he's been on campus and they've seen him play, I think, at least 2 or 3 times so far.
Okay, that sounds fair. And now I'm going to pivot a little bit because fans are really excited about seeing somebody commit on TV today. Malik Elzey was at an all-star game for football. 4-star wide receiver out of Chicago Simeon, who's obviously famous for their basketball factory status. But now we've got a wide receiver. Ked, you know, as director of recruiting, you have to keep track of these guys. Can you tell the fans a little bit about Malik?
Well, I'm going to tell the fans this. This is why you want to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com, because Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince and Mike Hagley and Larry Smith knew this was coming. We talk about it. We give a little teasers out on our message board. So, you know, kudos to you gentlemen as well, because, you know, out of respect for the recruits, we respect them and we don't put the information out there because they deserve to have their day. This was huge for the University of Illinois because he's an in-state kid. And, you know, one of the things that Brett Bielema talked about and Shauna Green both is, you know, they're looking for that Ayo Dosunmu. They're looking for that guy to come in. I know, you know, King Fagan's on campus as well, or he's signed as well. But they're looking to keep the best players and stay home. And getting a guy like Malik to commit, when you look at the hat sitting on that table, I'm just going to mention one, Michigan. The reason I'm going to mention Michigan is because they won the Big Ten, they beat Ohio State, they were in the college football playoffs, and Illinois just beat a kid over Michigan and three other schools. So having said that, give the Illinois coaching staff credit. This is a big opportunity for Illinois, because what Malik will do, and also I think Colin Dixon will do, they'll be able to throw the ball down the field. One of the things Barry Lunny Jr. I think would like to do, and Bielema would like to do as well. Isaiah Williams had a great game against Mississippi State, but he's not 6'1" or 6'2" or 6'3" like these guys, and he can stretch a defense. You know, this kid is just remarkable. He's big, he's tall, he's long, he's fast. By throwing the ball down the field, gives Illinois another added dimension, and also it sends a message to other schools, you know, Power 5 schools, Big 10 schools, you're not just going to come into Illinois and take kids anymore without Illinois putting up a fight. So big-time recruit. Mike, you mentioned the fans are excited, and they should be. They should be. And I will make this last comment. You know, we all make fun of, you know, how good of a recruiter Tim Anderson is, because, like, he's locked up the state. Tim Anderson might have had a little bit of hand in this, because he does know Malik Elzey, and I was able to get an interview with him because of Coach Anderson. So good job to the Illinois coaching staff, and they're happy today, and they should be, and so should the fans.
Yeah, when it comes to recruiting, you got to think of the Anderson difference. because he makes a difference in a lot of sports. Brad, any thoughts on Mr. Elzey, a big-time recruit and a difference maker? They've got Isaiah Williams, but he's just one player. Any thoughts from you on this addition to the team?
Well, Elzey's an outside receiver. You know, Williams is a slot. You know, got guys in the slot like Hank Beatty and Isaiah Williams are great. But they need that outside guy who can make plays down the field. And he's got size. You know, Elzey's 6'3" and, you know, 200 pounds. He can run. He's going to be he's a special talent. And you're going to see him use him in that aspect. I thought the best thing about this commit was they showed it on the Jumbotron up, you know, of course. Well, what we know is that Elzey actually had already signed with Illinois. So it just was they didn't want to release it. No. And so they showed it on the Jumbotron today, him picking the hat. And of course, right next to it is the other number one competitor for him was, of course, Wisconsin, where he was originally. You remember Cincinnati under Luke Fickell was his his destination at one point. So now Illinois beats Wisconsin on the basketball court, and they beat them for a recruit on the Jumbotron during a timeout. Really good job done by the Illinois DIA.
Yeah, that's nice. You know, to add some, put a little frosting on top of the cake there. One last topic that I'd like to remind Illini fans out of, and I'll get a comment from each of you gentlemen. But tomorrow, the 14-2 Illini basketball women with the best start in the history of the Illini basketball program find themselves in a 12 p.m. Central tip-off against Ohio State. This is an Ohio State team that is ranked number 3 in the country. The obviously the Illini at 14-2 are having a fantastic season. This is a clash that's on Big Ten Plus. That's an app that you can get for your phone, and a lot of televisions also have that available. Brad, any comments that you would like to give in terms of what's going on over there? I know I have been just incredibly impressed by the coaching staff and what they have done in a short period of time. This is a huge game for the program. And just wanted to see what you thought.
Yeah, so Mike, I would say that this is a big game in the sense that it's obviously two teams that are top of the Big Ten. I don't put pressure on Illinois in this game though, because this is number 3 team in the country on the road, and they, you know, Illinois is 14-2, but you know, and they beat Iowa, lost to Indiana tough. I think Ohio State's a different level from a size and athleticism standpoint. To win this game, Illinois is going to have to make a lot of perimeter shots. They are going to have to find a way to keep the ball out of the paint and defensively, not allow them to get the ball inside and dominate in the paint and get those easy buckets. That's been a struggle for them. So anyway, yes, but I think it's awesome what Shauna Green has done. This is not the game to hang your hat on, though. If they lose this one, oh, they say, no. This is a tough game. This is a really, really tough game. The fact if they compete in this game and they hang around and they make it competitive, that's a win for me. I know it's not going to be for Shauna Green or staff, but for me, that's a win. It's like, all right, you're almost there. So that's where I look at this game.
Perfect. Ked, you've been really close to the Illini women's basketball team. Any thoughts on this big matchup tomorrow?
Yeah, being the loser that I am when it comes to sports, last night I just sat here and I didn't have anything to do at home, so I have the Big Ten Network pass, and I want to watch Ohio State play, so I pulled out my pen and paper and broke down some game film, and I'm going to tell you what, this is by far the best team they're going to play all year, or one of them, I shouldn't say, because this Ohio State team defends the entire length of the court, all 5 people. They cannot turn the ball over against the press, because when you turn the ball, like when I saw them play Michigan, who was ranked 14th in the country, they could barely get the ball in bounds. And you can't just be careless with the basketball. They are extremely physical, and all 5 women crash the boards. They don't just you know, the shot goes up, I may go get the ball, I may not get the basketball. Illinois is going to have to play a really good game on the road to beat them, because it won't be easy. And Brad mentioned to me, you know, not to me, excuse me, to us, that, you know, don't get mad if they lose. And he's right. They're going in there expecting to win this game. The one advantage I'll give Illinois, it's not an advantage, it is, but it isn't. Illinois has really good guard play. So pressing Illinois, if you get the ball in bounds, and on the other end, making teams pay, if they get the ball in bounds, and I think someone like Jada Peebles and Genesis Bryant is going to be important, because you're going to get scoring opportunities once you get the ball in the middle of the court on the other side, because they have shooters. Michigan doesn't have the shooters that Illinois has. And if you can make people pay and score on the other end, they'll take the pressure off. That's always, that's what good teams do. So taking care of the basketball, and, you know, we all love Adelia because she's an Illini gal, but, you know, I hate to say this, Ohio State has three or four girls like that. They're just strong and physical. That's why I say it's going to be one of the best teams that they have faced all year. Yeah, oh, that's... one more comment, Mike, I want to add. Illinois had a really good conversation today with a 2025 basketball recruit. Her name is Divine Burridge. She's from Shauna Green's hometown, Davenport, Iowa, Clinton, Iowa, well, within 10 to 15 miles of each other. And conversation went really, really well. This girl has offers from Illinois. She has offers from Michigan. She's visited North Carolina, Louisville. She's been all over the place. And I mean, and when Illinois beat Iowa Sunday, I had a conversation with her, and I'm going to tell you, they turned heads. And so the recruiting aspect of it is going really, really well. And I know, like I said, the conversation they had today with her was, it was amazing. And so expect the recruiting to continue, not just with Illinois men's basketball and football, women's basketball as well. Sorry about that. I want
to problem, Ked. In fact, anybody who wants to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com, $99 a year, that particular, the women's basketball news has been really coming quite often. And the recruits that they're looking at right now are, they're way higher than what Illini fans are used to the Illini women's basketball team competing with. So that's huge. $99 a year is our cost to subscribe. We're proud of that. We have not went up as inflation's went up. We know there's a lot of sites out there that'll charge you $125. We don't do that. We try to keep our costs where they're at. At the same time, you know, we have to be able to get guys all over the place to cover games as far as ReliaQuest Bowl down in Tampa Bay. So we do that. Additionally, you've got our radio show, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That can be heard on Fridays or Saturdays. All you have to do is go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, find the city that is closest to you, and then find the station and the time and the day and tune in. If you can call them or email them, thank them for having us on the air. That really helps us as well. And, of course, we have our other podcast, Ked's Recruiting Roundup and Sturdy for 30, which are two that will supplement your Illini fix very much. So we're really proud of the quality of those. So with that, I would like to thank Brad Sturdy for giving us his time. Kedrick Prince the same way. This is Mike Kegley. There's a lot going on. And, of course, pay attention, because you never know when some recruit might be almost ready to commit. Well, at least you probably won't know unless you're a member of IlliniGuys.com. Go Illini!